Thank you both for joining us today on Galesburg Live, and Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Thank you. So Christmas is supposed to be joyous. It's supposed to be fun and everybody getting together. But unfortunately, a lot of people are getting sick, and respiratory illnesses are on the rise. And with everybody getting together for the holidays, it could get worse, Will.
That's true. The key we want to talk about is the fact that we want Christmas to be fun. We want the holidays to be a joyful time. We want everybody to get together. But none of us want to make Grandma or Aunt Sally or Uncle Joe sick, or even your kids. So, you know, it's really important that this time of year, when we have a lot of respiratory illness going around, for people to be smart about it. And that's really all we're asking you to do, is use some common sense, be smart, stay home if you're sick. Those type of things.
It seems like we just, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but we kind of saying the same things over the last however many 3 years now since COVID was here. You'd think we'd already know this drill, Aaron.
We do know the drill, but we've kind of gotten tired. As you said, we've kind of had a broken record going over and over. We're kind of just tired of hearing it. But it's pretty much back to the basics. Yeah. We all did this stuff prior to March of 2020.
Yeah.
But we just kind of had it, for lack of a better term, pushed into our face and on our social media, and it was everywhere all the time. So the basics is yes, we have so many youth in our schools right now who are sick, and businesses. I mean, we're seeing it even in our building with different, you know, winter viruses from cold, flu, RSV, seeing so many people ill. So it's just getting back to those basics, that if you're sick, stay home. If you have a child who is sick, don't pump them full of Tylenol if they have a temperature and send them to school, you know, and hope that temperature is going to be down and last through the whole day. Yeah. Make sure they're home, you know, for 24 hours, fever free. Same with work. Mm-hmm. Adults, we like to push through everything. We're coming to work no matter what. Right. And we want people to remember, it's okay, you can stay home. And going to Christmas holidays, or, you know, whatever it is, that the holiday that you celebrate, to New Year's, to whatever, making sure that, hey, if you do think you might have something, take a test. Or just, you know what, I don't want to take the chance of getting everybody sick and they're sick for, you know, 3 weeks. Just make sure you're staying home and being conscious of who's around you.
That's right. And, of course, get your vaccines, right, Will?
Most definitely get your vaccines. The health department, we have the flu vaccine. We have the COVID vaccine. We would really encourage anyone who is needing the flu vaccine to get it, whether it be from us or one of their other providers.
Yeah.
We do carry the high dose of the health department. Not a ton of it left, but we do have some. So, you know, it's $70. But if you're over a certain age, or you have underlying health issues, it is really encouraged for you to get the high dose. It's just going to give you a little extra protection.
Yeah.
So, you know, call out to the health department, make an appointment, call your provider, go to the local Walgreens, wherever it is that you want to go get your flu vaccine, go get it.
Yeah. Are we too late to get the flu vaccine to actually be effective for the holidays?
The flu vaccine, normally they say once you get the vaccine, it takes 2 weeks, you know, to really get going. But you know what? Maybe you're not celebrating the holidays till New Year's.
Yeah.
Maybe you're celebrating it, you know, a little bit late. So it is absolutely never too late to get that flu vaccine. The flu vaccine has been in our community and been around everywhere for so long, but it's kind of been forgotten and pushed to the wayside due to all the other vaccines that we're hearing about all the time. So it is never too late to get that vaccine. And kids 6 months of age and older through adulthood can get that flu vaccine. And as Will said, the high dose is for, you know, 65 and older, those who have, you know, immunocompromised immune systems, certain health conditions. So we really encourage anybody to come out and get that flu vaccine, because there's so much influenza A, and, you know, we're not talking stomach flu, we're talking respiratory flu to help protect you against that, because we've all have been kind of staying at home and not around people as much, and we are all back out and gathering now, so it's important.
Are we recommending masking up again, Will?
You know, I would say this. Anyone who wants to put a mask on, I would encourage you, do it. Put your mask on, wear a mask. If you're someone who doesn't want a mask, then that is, you know, your choice. But also be respectful of those who choose to mask, or those who aren't real comfortable with everybody being up close to them. There are, you may be a healthy young adult or even a healthy older adult, but there are people out there with underlying health issues and with problems that we don't recognize or know, or they have family members who have that. And we just really need to be respectful of those who want to mask or choose to mask, and keep our distance from them and, you know, not create a scenario where it's uncomfortable for them to be masked.
So I'd love to just kind of remind people, you know, who you are and the important work you do. Aaron, you've been with the health department for quite a while now.
22 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, kind of crazy. Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's been that long.
Yeah, right. And what does the wellness director do?
What does the wellness director do? The wellness director does a lot of different things. I do public information officer within the health department. And then in an incident that would, you know, take over the county like it did with COVID, I assisted and was the information officer for the county. Mm-hmm. I also oversee the energy assistance program.
Okay.
That's at the health department. The LIHEAP program, done that now for 5 years?
Yeah.
Right around there. So about 5 years we've done that. And we do just stuff. We go out into the community and do educational programs on the health department, on the health center, all over, so people can know what we do. So if you're looking for stuff like that, let us come out. We haven't been out for a couple of years, and we would love to come be in person and do a presentation with
really?
People. Yeah.
Do you go to businesses, organizations, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. We will come out and do. I have a staff with myself and 6 other individuals between LIHEAP and education, and we would love to come out and tell you about what LIHEAP is or what the health department in general does that can, how it can assist you, your family, your church, your business, anything of that nature. We will do that, and it doesn't cost a thing for us to do that.
I'll be darned. Somebody ought to take you up on that. That is great.
I would love it.
You speak to a lot of schools and that kind of stuff?
We used to do a lot of school activity. We had a lot of grants when I first started at the health department throughout the years, and a lot of those grants have just kind of went away due to funding, you know, through the state and different things. So we don't do as much school presentations now. But we used to. Minimal things. We've talked about possibly continuing to doing dental. Maybe, you know, hand washing, which is huge, key public health things that we want people to do. But primarily, if you're an agency or something within the community or just a group, please call us. That is free, and we can come out and talk to anybody about the services and anything that we do.
Wonderful. Will, how long have you been with the health department?
Well, that's a good question. I've been back 5 years.
Okay.
I was here for 14 years, left for 10, came back for 5. So I love it here. It was nice coming home. I was so happy the opportunity came up for me to come back. And not that I didn't like where I was at, but, you know, this is where I started my public health career. And there's a lot of great things here in Knox County and a lot of great people.
That's right. And it's been a busy 3 years for you and your staff.
It's been incredibly busy. It's still incredibly busy. As the rest of the world wants to try to forget about COVID, those of us in public health get told to find a way to make it part of your everyday life.
Yeah.
And I love the opportunity to talk about our staff. As you've heard me say before, we just have an amazing group of people there at the health department.
Yeah.
You know, we had a lot of individuals who we brought on board who were temporary help that were just great. They did so much for us with COVID and contact tracing and everything. But we still have an awesome core group of staff that have hung in there from the very beginning of COVID. And then we have some great new people with us, or newer people who have come on board either during or as we're winding down some of our COVID activities. That just, it's a great atmosphere. It's a great group of people. I'm so lucky to get to work with them all.
That's right. Well, let's talk about the distinction between the health department and the health center. So health department, what does the health department do? I know it's kind of such a broad question, but when we talk about the health department, there may be people who think, you know what, they have an idea of what they do, but maybe not.
So really the best way to say that is the health center is a part of the health department.
Yes.
You know, public health is part of a much bigger system. On the health department side of our building or the health department division, we take care, we do WIC, we do family case management. So, you know, that's the Women, Infants, and Children's program. We do food inspection, septics, well permitting, the bats, mosquitoes, West Nile virus, and we have a communicable disease division that takes care of those type of things, and immunizations. We have the energy assistance or LIHEAP program.
Yeah.
Then we move to the other side with the health center. That is a medical center. That is just like going to one of the OSF clinics.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to describe it. In that side, though, we have medical, we have dental, we have behavioral health services. But it is a division of the health department. So we are all one entity, but we have two very distinct divisions that do slightly different services. Right now, it's kind of weird because everybody's coming through the main front doors as we're doing some minor remodeling to make access so much easier. But once we get that done, the health center side, our clients over there are just going to be so thrilled as to how much more accessible things are for them and how much easier it is. You know, we're really excited. That side is, I know we didn't talk about this at the time, but it's adding some bariatric rooms to make it a little easier for some clients.
Gotcha.
Just awesome stuff going on that side. But on the public health side, really a lot of just awesome stuff too. It's just less medical direct services on the public health side than on the other, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say a big part of the public health side right now, besides the energy assistance program and our WIC program, which are there, and WIC has been there forever, but our communicable disease, as he said, we have a lot of, they do a lot of immunizations, and that can be anything from your flu vaccine to your regular vaccine, you know, like your tetanus, diphtheria, your all of those. So we do a lot of vaccines for youth who need to get up to date for school, because we have so many youth who have lagged and fell behind in vaccines due to the last, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of those coming in. They can make appointments, and we can do anywhere from your 6 months to your adult vaccines, your shingles vaccines, your flu, HPV, any of those from your mandated to your non.
Yeah.
So we have all those. And that division is very busy now with getting a lot of kids caught back up.
Now, Aaron, you also said that one of your doctors is taking walk-ins right now.
Yeah. Over in the medical center, over in the Knox Community Health Center.
Yes.
We have Dr. Wagner, who is a very well-known doctor within our community. And we have Carol Seiko. She's a nurse practitioner over in the health center. And they are both accepting new patients. And they, we are accepting walk-ins in the medical center. They are, you know, fitting them in between other appointments, so you may have a tiny bit of a wait time, but I promise you it won't be a long wait. Mm-hmm. But we're accepting walk-ins. And our medical center is open Monday through Fridays, 7 to 5, as long as it's not a holiday. We're closed next Friday and Monday.
Sure.
The following Monday. But yes, yeah, 7 to 5, Monday through Friday, walk-ins, accepting new patients. And Dr. Wagner, if you know him, from what I've heard, you love him.
Yeah.
So
family doctor, kind of, that's...
Yes.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I also stress with our health center is, you know, we take... a lot of people think, oh, it's a health center. We take insurance.
Yes.
We have a sliding fee scale for those who... up to the 200% of poverty level. So everyone is eligible to come in and use. We have private pay. So don't think, oh, I don't qualify for something there, or I can't go there, I have insurance. No. We are a health center just like anyone else in our community. We take all sorts of people. You know, we would love to see anyone who's looking for a new doc or to establish with a doc to give us a call or come be a walk-in if you need service.
That's right. And this is a good time to do that because of all the, you know, the hospital is doing a great job in our community to take care of that need after Cottage left. But there are, you know, waiting rooms are overflowing and wait time is getting a little long. So knowing that they're, the Dr. Wagner and the nurse practitioner is there taking walk-ins, that's an important thing to know.
And an important thing to know is that, yes, we are called the Knox County Health Department, but please call us because a lot of our services, yes, are tailored to Knox County, but our immunization services on the public health side, you can live anywhere.
Yeah.
Our community health center where the medical is, they have some boundaries because they have to with their grant, but you don't have to live in Knox County to be able to use that medical center. And I think that's a misconception that a lot of people have. So if you don't live in Knox County, please still call us to find out what services, because we have a lot of them that you can still utilize.
As far as flu, COVID, RSV, this is a dangerous time, especially for kids. And we wanted to take a moment to talk about what's going on with lots of kids getting sick. Schools are canceling activities. We were just talking off the air. Bright futures, right?
Yes. There a lot of people, a lot of schools, they're being very cognizant of what is going on. They're not only protecting their students, but they're protecting their teachers and their kids, you know, their families. We've heard a lot of people say, you know, it's not just kids that are out, it's your teachers who they can't find subs for.
Yeah.
So with the kids getting all these, Knox County and the surrounding counties have seen a very large increase in the cases of RSV that have been going on within our community. And a lot of people think, oh, well, it's just, we kind of forget about RSV and just go straight to influenza, but RSV is a big thing.
So RSV is the flu for kids? Is that, what is this?
Not exactly. It is a respiratory illness, just like the flu is.
Yeah.
But it's honestly a lot more dangerous for kids than the flu. Yeah. Very quick onset. You can get extremely ill from it. Dehydration is a big concern with RSV. And the other thing is there's no vaccines.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really important for parents to monitor. And if you really see that your kid is sick or starting to get sick, not wait around a couple, 3 days to see if they get better on their own. That is just a big concern with RSV is that, you know, taking it serious and getting medical attention quickly.
Yeah. What are the symptoms here? What are they?
Some of the things that you want to watch for, because they are so close to the flu and COVID and RSV, they seem very similar.
Yeah.
Changes in how the child is eating. They might be having difficulty breathing, gasping or wheezing, and then uncontrollable coughing. And yeah, we all know kids are irritable, but they're more irritable than normal sometimes when they're sick. So watch that. And a fever, you know, a fever. And we're talking young children. We're not just talking school age children. Yeah. It can also affect young, but it can also affect our senior age people, you know, our elderly. So, you know, if you have grandma who watches grandchild, you know, and they get sick, you need to be very cognizant and watch, you know, for that fever, their eating, their irritability, and just that wheezing, gasping, coughing. Make sure you're talking to your doctor. And if you start to see some of these signs, we don't want you to be overly cautious, but be aware and conscious that I need to call my doctor now, because as Will said, it can get very dangerous very quickly.
It gets dangerous, and kids are, you know, they're ending up in intensive care with, you know, on oxygen, breathing treatments, that kind of thing, right? I mean,
yes, and I mean, RSV is a big one, but we're seeing that with other things besides RSV just because of the amount of respiratory going on.
Yeah.
But, you know, that RSV is very dangerous just because of how quickly it can change for a kid, especially, you know. And yeah, as Aaron mentioned, we're mostly concerned about children under the age of five or older adults who have weakened immune systems, but it could be anyone.
Adults can get just normal. Adults can get RSV.
They can. It's much less common in a normal adult, but we are seeing it in our community right now.
Well, I know for kids there's a lot of information going, especially those young, let's say babies. I've got a granddaughter who's 15 months old. And, you know, they're saying stay out of their faces because, you know, you want to kiss their cheeks and you want to hug them and all that stuff. And if you're not around this kid very often, they're saying stay out of their face.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. And that's kind of a common
practice. Don't kiss
my
baby is what I keep seeing that on Facebook. Don't kiss my baby.
Don't kiss my baby. Please don't come up to my baby in the store and want to touch it. And yes, babies are cute. We all love babies. Yeah. We all love cute little kids. But in this time when you have the RSV and strep, and things going around, you need to keep that distance and, you know, it's not your baby. Stay back a little bit. Give him some space. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like Dirty Dancing. My dance space, your dance space. Let's keep it.
My daughter is amazed at when she does have our granddaughter out, you know, at a store or something. She's amazed at the people that will just walk up and start to, you know, put their hands on them, to touch their hands and, you know, rub their head. And that's, it's like, what? When was this a thing?
It's back to social distancing when it comes to that. We have to keep not our distance, but, you know, just your personal space, because we do have so many, and these are respiratory viruses, and they spread quickly, and the onset is very
That's
quick.
Right. Aaron Olson is the Director of Wellness for the Knox County Health Department, Knox Community Health Center. Will Hayes, the Assistant Public Health Administrator. A very timely conversation here today, because respiratory illnesses are just on the rise here in this area, and especially flu and COVID is on the rise here in this county for adults. So you're seeing
in a high transmission rate of COVID in our community. We also are in an elevated rate of flu transmission in our county. So there's a lot of things going on. And a lot of it gets back to the best thing you're going to be able to do prevention is, one, get your vaccines.
Yeah.
Stay up to date on your vaccine. It's not too late to go get a flu vaccine. It's not too late to go get a COVID vaccine. The health department, we have clinics on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Fridays for COVID. We do flu by appointment. Our COVID one is also by appointment. You can actually come in and get both your COVID and your flu at the same time if you want, whether it be an initial dose or one of your boosters. Yeah. So, you know, we'd really encourage individuals to do that. But even if you're not going to come to the health department and do that, go to the local pharmacy, call your doctor's office, find out who else has it available. And get your vaccine. And then after that, it's the, you know, wash your hands, keep your distancing, cover your cough,
Yeah.
Stay home if you're sick.
Yes, right.
You know, Aaron mentioned a little bit earlier about people wanting to push through at work. And, you know, we love the fact that I have staff who are out sick right now and they're like, oh, I feel so bad. I want to be there. Well, that's great. But, you know, you being here could take out three other people. So it's better for you to stay home.
That's right.
Than us to have four people now out sick because you're sick plus the three people you made sick.
That's right.
You know, we'd rather you be healthy and be here that way than be here and be sick and, you know, risk clients or other staff.
That's right. Will Hayes is the Assistant Public Health Administrator, Aaron Olson, Director of Wellness for the Knox County Health Department and Knox Community Health Center. You can get free COVID tests at the health department. I just did this a couple weeks ago and picked up a free test for my son-in-law, who they thought he had COVID. He ended up not having it. But I just walked into the health department, said, hey, I need a free COVID test, and I was in and out.
You absolutely can. Monday through Friday, 7 to 5, we have staff in the building through the health center. You can walk in the main door of the health department. We'll send you over to the health center. You can come in. You can get two COVID tests in a bag, and there's some N95 masks on there. It is all free.
Yeah.
You can get that. If you are symptomatic and you need a COVID test, you can call into the building, and we will bring it to you curbside.
Oh, nice.
So we do have that option because we don't want symptomatic people, you know, coming in to get that test.
Sure.
But you can come. We have those free. We will bring them to your door or, you know, your car door if you need to. Our staff are very accommodating for that.
That's right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we really encourage everyone to take advantage of that. You know, testing is really important. Testing is not 100% perfect, but it is a very good way of knowing, you know, whether or not you do have COVID. You know, don't just assume, and we hear this all the time, even from our own staff, oh, I thought it was just my allergies, or, oh, it was just the sniffles, I thought I had a cold. No, take the time, do a test. It takes 10, 15 minutes at most, but it is definitely the way to go to make sure you're monitoring and protecting yourself.
That's right. COVID ran through the radio station back in, say, September. It hit just about, I think at one point for a few days, there were three people here at the station running the entire thing because so many of us were out. And I went and got my free test at the health department, did the test in my truck out in your parking lot because I wanted to see, and I'll be darned if I didn't have it. And it hit me pretty hard this time. It hit me harder than the first time that I got it. I was not feeling good. It was I didn't have the loss of smell or taste this time, but I was just wiped out. I couldn't get out of bed for 2 or 3 days.
We're hearing just anecdotally from our staff who have been sick with it. The exhaustion is huge. Oh. Right now, sore throat seems to be a big one with it. Knock on wood, neither Aaron or I have gone down that road with this current variant of it.
Yeah.
But what we're hearing from staff that have been out with it and just general public is those are two of the big things, that exhaustion and then that sore throat, just like your throat's on fire, we're hearing.
It was brutal. It took me weeks to get back to feeling normal again. It really ran over me like a truck this time. It felt like it.
Now, I want to make it clear, though, just because you don't have those two symptoms does not mean you couldn't have COVID.
That's right.
So,
right.
You know, still, you get your test kit, get tested. Don't go, oh, Will from the health department said, I don't have a sore throat, so I'm good to go. No, it affects everybody a little different.
It does. And we do offer regular testing at the health department, too.
Regular
health? Well, what used to, the PCR testing that we do, you can also still make an appointment for those at the health department and come in and have those now. It's not curbside, but you can come into the building. Oh,
meaning where they put the swab up your nose and that kind of thing.
Yep, okay. we still do offer that too.
Yeah. So do you recommend that after you've had the home test?
No,
you don't have to go get the nose test.
Okay. Nope. So a positive test is a positive test.
Yeah, right.
If you go and get a PCR, which is what we do in the building afterwards, it doesn't negate the positive. The main reason that people seem to be coming to get the other test is either one, they're not comfortable swabbing their own nose.
Yeah, sure.
Which is a little uncomfortable. Or two, they need it for their boss, their employment, whatever, that way. The home test kit and the PCR are very similar in accuracy nowadays. They've gotten much better, those home test kits are. There are definitely some that are better than others. But if you test at home, you know, and we would encourage most people, do the home test. There's no need for you to get out and come into the health department and do everything else if you're feeling ill.
Yeah.
Stay home. You know, come and get a couple of the free test kits from us and test at home.
Yeah. I have heard that the tests now really are darn near close to being just about
They're very close.
Very, very accurate, I guess.
I mean, every test that you ever take, nothing's perfect. So, you know, you always have to remember that. But they are very accurate. And why go out and try to spread, you know? We don't want to we want to spread cheer right now, not the germs.
And that's what I'm going to say is, even if you test negative for COVID, if you're not feeling well and you have respiratory issues going on, stay home.
Yeah, right, right. And how long after you have a positive test can you go back? What is it?
So the way it, right now, as of today, it's 5 days after the onset of symptoms or the positive test, whichever was first, you are allowed to remove yourself from isolation if you're feeling better, but you need to mask for an additional 5 days.
Okay.
If you're not feeling better, and by better, we don't mean you're feeling perfect. We mean you're seeing a significant improvement.
Yeah.
You should stay for an additional 5 days in isolation.
Okay. Gotcha.
So it's 10-day total.
10 days total still. That's so okay. Going back to work, 10 days basically.
Unless you're feeling better and you can mask, you know. Is that for the general public? There's a slightly different scenario for the medical community where they are really pretty much out for the full 10 days. But you know, the key is going to be, you know, how do you actually feel? Are you feeling better? Are you no longer sneezing and hacking up a lung, coughing?
Yeah.
Do you still have a sore throat? Do you still have those issues? If so, then you need to stay and rest.
Very timely discussion, not only talking about the respiratory illnesses that are out there, but here we're in wintertime. It's getting a lot colder. Your energy assistance program, Aaron, is still going strong. LIHEAP.
Yes, LIHEAP is still going full force. That is for all Knox County residents.
Yeah, what does LIHEAP stand for?
It is the Low Income Home Energy Program.
Gotcha.
We call it just the energy program at the health department. It has a family of one can make like $2,265. Dollars in a 30-day period, I think it is right around there. What the LIHEAP program does is customers can come in that income qualify for their home, and they can come in and they can receive a one-time assistance towards their power bill.
Okay.
And that can be Ameren, but maybe you also have a propane tank.
Yeah.
So maybe you utilize, I'm just going to throw out some examples, you know, West Central FS, Spoon River Electric,
Feral Gas,
right. Central Butane, McDonough Power, because not everybody has Ameren.
Right.
Some have Spoon River, some have McDonough Power. We also work with a lot of those companies where you can come in, you qualify for a one-time amount that goes directly to your energy source, whether that's your gas, your electric, and we put that money towards your bill. The grant puts that money towards your bill. This is a grant through the state. We have federal dollars, we have state dollars, and they can come in, and we have customers who may get anywhere from $400 to $700 to $800.
Yeah.
It depends on your family size, your income, and the amount of energy that you used the prior year.
Oh.
And all the systems talk, and they do all sorts of stuff
to figure
that out. But the program is open to people who own their homes, rent their homes, live in apartments. Maybe you have an old bill that you've had a debt that is stopping you from getting power put into your name now.
Yeah.
If you come in with a certain justification that we can help you with, you can come in and we can assist you with that old bill sometimes. So it's not just Ameren. We also help propane customers, and we can't force that one enough. We've increased our propane customers quite a bit, but we really want to push propane. Yes, Ameren is expensive. Bills have went up across the board for everybody, but propane is also very expensive, and you might have to fill your $250,000-$500,000 tank once, twice, maybe three times, depending on how cold it is this winter.
My grandma just got hers filled, 500 gallons, $1,200.
Yeah, it's an expensive.
That's a hunk of change around the holidays.
Yes. And if you have Ameren and propane, you will get assistance towards both.
You're not
just going to get one or the other. We can assist customers with both of them. And we encourage, right now we're scheduling out till about January 3rd. But if you are a disconnect customer and you are going to be disconnected from your power, please call us. We have disconnect days, and we work with those customers within 48 hours because we do not want anybody cold during this time.
But and even in this time, they're not going to disconnect people.
As of last week, there were still disconnects going on. So the one thing I do want to stress, just because we have a limited number of staff, and we have staff that believe it or not, actually like to take a little time off during the holidays too. Yeah. And we've had some sick staff. Yeah. Don't wait till the day before your disconnect to call us.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to do our best to get you in as quickly as possible. Erin and her team is amazing at working schedules around to make sure everyone can get in. But there becomes a limit where we only can do so much.
Yeah.
So, you know, we encourage you, the moment you get your first notice of a disconnect, call us. Yeah. Get yourself set up for an appointment so we can get you taken care of. Because we don't want to see someone without power, especially as we start to get colder and colder.
Yeah.
You know, it can be cause a lot of other issues. And we definitely don't want someone to run completely out of propane. So don't wait till you're down to 10% in your tank and say, oh, crud, you know, I need to get a hold of the health department now. No, call, get your appointment set up, get in to see us.
That's right. Will Hayes and Erin Olson from the Knox County Health Department and Knox Community Health Center, the energy program. Again, just call them to set up an appointment.
Yes, please do. 344-2224.
Okay. As we are in the holidays, we wanted to take a few moments to talk about holiday food safety. It's one of those things we don't really get out very often, but your comment was, Grandma, don't leave that turkey out all day long, okay?
You know, holiday times is all about everybody gathering.
Yeah.
And whether it be Thanksgiving, which is what everybody thinks of as really the big food holiday, but you have Christmas, you have New Year's. You know, there are foods that need to be kept hot. There are foods that need to be kept cold. And that really means, you know, don't leave that deli tray if you're doing something out for 4 or 5 hours. Don't cook turkey, a ham, whatever it is, pull it, and leave it set out half the day. Yeah. Your hot food, if you have something in a crock pot or in a hot warming unit, keep it hot. Don't decide, oh, well, that seems kind of warm, I'm going to turn it off. And, you know, 2 hours later, who knows how long it's been sitting out of temperature.
Right.
So, you know, it is really important to do those things. And then it's, you know, we also talk about properly thawing foods. Plan ahead. The best way to thaw something is in the refrigerator. And if you can't thaw in the refrigerator, then under running water or as part of the cooking process is an option. But that idea of pulling it out and setting it on the counter is not what you should be doing. With all the respiratory things and everything else we have going on, we don't need to have a whole bunch of the classic term stomach flu going on or foodborne illnesses just because individuals, you know, aren't playing it safe with food safety.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I haven't seen. And when I was growing up, we never had any issues like that. But do you see a rise in that around the holidays? And
I don't necessarily issues? See a rise. It's just reminding people and a lot about like cross-contamination. You know, if you're cutting your vegetables and you have meat or you have, I don't know, something else, don't use the same knife and the same cutting board. You want to wipe stuff down in between and switch out your cutting boards or whatever, you know, whatever it is you're using. So a lot of cross-contamination. We don't see a lot of illnesses, but it's always just a good reminder.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, first of all, no one wants to blame Grandma or Aunt Sally for making them sick. it was, you know, the place I ate out yesterday.
Yes.
But the other reality is this time of year, you have more of that kind of grazing snack setup. You know, growing up, my grandparents had a huge Christmas get-together.
Yeah.
You know, my dad had four brothers. I had 20-some cousins at this get-together.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, for a Christmas and Thanksgiving get together. And yeah, there was always kind of a meal, but there was also that kind of grazing area also of, you know, cheeses and meats put out, veggies with dips. Yeah. And people don't always think about, you know, those dips are sour cream, mayo, milk or butter, you know, in them. Yeah. Those are all things that can grow bacteria. I mean, then it is the cross contamination, you know. I think of the classic Seinfeld episode of the double dipper.
Oh, yeah.
We all know that person, you know. So just be smart about this stuff. You know, put a small amount on your plate, take it, go away. And it all sounds like common sense, but all of us, including myself, have a tendency to throw common sense out the door when you're standing around talking to a bunch of people or just not thinking about stuff and in your own head over something.
That's right, right. Will Hayes and Erin Olson from the Knox County Health Department talking about holiday safety, and we're going to wrap things up here with, as we started, protecting yourself against these respiratory illnesses out there, especially for these holiday get-togethers. It's important to just use that common sense, right, Erin?
Yeah, use your common sense. Cover your cough, cover your sneezes, clean, stay home if you're sick.
Yeah.
If you want vaccines, call your primary care provider, call a local pharmacy, call the health department. We all would be very happy to, you know, assist you with those vaccines. And if you're sick, call your doctor if you need to get there. Everybody just wants everybody healthy for the holidays.
That's right. And it would be sad to miss Christmas because you're sick, but you don't want to be the one to make everybody else sick, right?
That is a huge thing. You know, none of us want to make someone else sick. You can say, oh, I'm not contagious all you want. You don't really know. So the last thing you want to do is make someone else ill. I mean, we'd all feel horrible even if someone just got minorly sick from us. So, you know, be smart. Stay home if you need to.
Yeah. And again, if you need that flu vaccine, your COVID vaccine, you can call the health department, so the health center, and get these taken care of this week.
Yep. You can call 309-344-2224. We have some appointments available next week, I know.
You can probably call and get an appointment today.
Yeah.
If you wanted to, just call the main line. We can transfer you to where you need to. If you need at-home COVID tests, walk into the building. We'll hand you one. We'll get you one. We've got it all.